You believe that things happen in your life just by coincidence? That there is just a chance set of circumstances that seems to come together at a certain time, that you're in the right place at the right time, or sometimes the wrong place at the wrong time? Or do you believe that there is an unexplainable force at work, that these things happen for a reason in your life, that there is a purpose that is being worked out, that even though you may not know always what that purpose is, that things happen not by chance? Important things in life that are there for a reason, and God is working in that. Do you believe in coincidence as far as your life, or do you believe in God incidence? We find an example of one of the parables here that Jesus told, the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. And in verse 31, speaking about this, it said, "Now by chance a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." Here was an event that Jesus told, which may or may not have been an actual event. Jesus told it to teach an important lesson. But it's the only time in the New Testament that the word for coincidence is used. And it is the word sakuria in the Greek language, which means a chance happening, even an accident. So, do you believe that things happen in your life that way, that it is just by chance, or that it happens for a reason, and that God is in control of these events and working out His purpose? You know, the word coincidence, it means the condition of happening at the same time. Two things happen at the same time, but for no reason other than circumstance. It is the exact correspondence in nature, character, result, or circumstances. Coincidence. And there have been many amazing coincidences in history. You realize that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, the second and third presidents of the United States, both died on the same day. And you know what that day was? It was July the 4th, 1826. Why is that important? Because it was exactly 50 years to the day that they had signed the Declaration of Independence. John Adams died at his home in Massachusetts. Thomas Jefferson died at his home at Monticello in the hills of North Carolina. But they died on the same day, exactly 50 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Mark Twain was born in the year 1835 on the day that Halley's Comet appeared in the skies. Halley's Comet appears once every 75 years. Mark Twain died in the year 1910 on the day that Halley's Comet appeared again. He himself predicted that this was going to happen about 6 months before he died. That he said, "I came in when Halley's Comet, and I'm going to go out when Halley's Comet comes back again." And that's what happened. The Wizard of Oz, there's an amazing coincidence. Really amazing coincidence. Because when they were making the movie The Wizard of Oz in 1938 at MGM in Hollywood, they were looking for a coat for the actor who played The Wizard of Oz that would be the exact coat that was like the one described in the book by L. Frank Baum, the author. It was a classic Edwardian jacket. Now, they thought that they could go to a costume studio in Hollywood, surely, and find a jacket that matched that perfect description. But they found that the more they looked for that jacket, they could not find it. And the time for the movie was getting closer, and they wanted the jacket to be right. So they sent a group to New York. They said, we can find it in New York for sure. They went to New York, though, and they looked through all the stores there, all the tailoring stores. They could not find the jacket. They said, well, let's try once more. Let's go to Chicago. And if we can't find it there, then we're going to have to just do something else because we're running out of time. Well, they went to Chicago. They looked through all the stores. And again, they could not find it. They were on the way to the airport, and for some reason, they noticed a used clothing store. And they decided, try that. It's what we would now say a thrift store. They walked in, and they looked through, and then as they were getting ready to leave, they noticed a jacket hanging on the rack in the back of the room. They walked back there, and it was the perfect jacket. So they bought it, and they brought it to Hollywood, and they tried it on the actor, Frank Morgan, and it fit perfectly. They did not have to do any alterations. It was the exact jacket that they were looking for, a classic Edwardian jacket. They were making the movies in Hollywood because the weather was nice and warm year-round. But with the lighting, it would get hot on the set, and Frank Morgan would perspire heavily. And so between scenes, they would take his jacket off and hang it up on the rack so that it could dry out. And they were hanging it on the rack, and someone noticed that there was a tag inside the jacket. And they walked over and they said, this looks like the name of the owner of this jacket. And so they were looking, they said, well, I wonder who this was. They looked in there and it says L. Frank Baum. He was the actual Wizard of Oz who wrote the book. That was his jacket that they found in the thrift store from Chicago on the way to the airport. You tell me that was a coincidence? How about this one? Tim Tebow. We all have heard of Tim Tebow. He won the Heisman Trophy for the University of Florida back in 2009, and they won the national championship that year. 3 years later, he was quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos went to the playoffs to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Tim Tebow was quarterback for the Broncos. And the game tied 17-17. So they tossed the coin for the playoff. And on the very first play from scrimmage, after the kickoff, the ball was on the 20-yard line, Tebow dropped back and hit Demaryius Thomas going across the middle for an 80-yard touchdown and won the game. As Tebow was coming off the field, a representative of the Denver Broncos from the press office came running up to him and he said, Tim, do you realize just what happened? And he says, yes, we won the game. What are you talking about? We're going to play the Patriots next week. He said, what are you talking about? He says, well, do you remember 3 years ago when you were playing for Florida, you won the national championship? That was on this same day. It was January the 9th, 2009. This was January the 9th, 2012. He said, well, yeah, I didn't even think about that. He said, but you remember that 3 years ago was when you decided to put John 3:16 under your eye black, you know, as the eye black. And that was the first time he had done that. And from that, when they won the national championship, there were 90 million people went on Google and YouTube to look at that. And they saw about God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He said, do you realize what just happened? He said, during this game today, you threw for 316 yards. And your rushing yards today was 3.16 per carry. 10 carries, 3.16 yards per carry. And your completions, your yards per completion, it was 31.6 yards per completion. And the rating for the game on TV was 3.16. The time of possession that the Broncos had the ball was 31.6 minutes. Some people said, it's just a coincidence. Tim Tebow said, I believe it's a big God. 94 million people went on YouTube and Google and saw that film. Some amazing things have happened, in other words, in the world. Amazing things do happen every day. Is there a coincidence in your life? Have things happen in your life by coincidence? You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God is working out a purpose of His plan of salvation. And as a Christian, we're able to be a part of that plan. Psalm 33 and verse 11, it said, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Things do happen for a reason in life. Tim Tebow, when he was born, his parents were living in the Philippines. They were missionaries. And the doctors said that his pregnancy was something wrong with it. They needed to have an abortion. His parents decided not to have the abortion, and they refused at any consideration. Tim was born and has grown up to have a pretty amazing life. And many other things in life, in your life, if you think about it, was it a coincidence or was God working to fulfill His purpose in your life? In the book of Exodus, it speaks about Moses. When Moses was born, the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, and they had been crying out to God. And it says there that there was a man of the house of Levi who went and took as his wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. There was an order by the Pharaoh that all the Hebrew male children would be killed because they had too many Israelites. She hid him for 3 months, but when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And in verse 5 it says, then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. She saw the ark and she took compassion on the child. She took him home and he was raised up in the home of the Pharaoh. He received an education and was trained for leadership. When he was 40 years old, he knew that he was an Israelite and he went to help his people. But it didn't work out and he fled to the land of Midian for another 40 years. But after 80 years, he was in the desert and he saw a burning bush. It even says that he happened to see the burning bush that day. God spoke to him and he was sent back to Egypt and became the leader of the people. Was that all just a coincidence? Well, I don't think anyone believes that. There is the book of Ruth, in which Ruth was a Moabitess who came back with her mother-in-law to the land of Israel to help her mother-in-law, Naomi. And when they arrived back in the land of Israel, the Bible says that they did not know where they would support themselves. And after talking about it, her mother encouraged her to go out to the barley fields and the time of harvest and to do the gleaning of the fields. So in Ruth chapter 2, it says there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So Boaz, Ruth the Moabite, said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. She happened to come to that field. Well, the rest of it is worked out and explained in the remainder of the book that Boaz took compassion upon her and eventually was willing to marry her. And she became the ancestor of King David and is part of the ancestry of Jesus in the book of Matthew. Some would say a coincidence had happened that she found that field that day. In the book of Esther, we read that Queen Esther was chosen to be the king after Queen Vashti was deposed from the throne by King Ahasuerus. And as a result of that, she went through a training and she was chosen to be the queen of Persia. There was a lot of anti-Semitism that was still going on among the Persian people toward the people of Israel. And one of the king's servants, Haman, orchestrated to have the Jews put to death on a certain day. It says in the book that her cousin, older cousin Mordecai, who was raising Esther, one day he happened to overhear a conversation. Two men were planning to assassinate the king. He was able to report that, and it was entered into the official annals of the history of the kingdom. later on, Queen Esther was considering what she could do to help her people. And Mordecai spoke to her in the fourth chapter, and he urged her to go before the king. He said that if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. He explained to her that she might die, but if she didn't go before the king and risk her life, all of her people were going to die. And so she made the courageous choice to go before the king, not knowing if he would accept her or not, because the law stated that if he did not raise the royal scepter, she could be put to death. She went before the king and he raised the scepter and she was allowed to come in. And she asked him if they could have a banquet the following day. Well, it goes on to explain that that night it so happened that King Ahasuerus had trouble going to sleep. He called for the people to come and he said, "Why don't you get out the annals of the history and start reading that to me?" You know, it would be about like reading the phone book. Good way to go to sleep. They are reading the annals, and he comes across this one section. He says, "Now, wait a minute, what was that?" There was a man who heard that there was going to be an assassination plot. His name was Mordecai. Did we ever do anything to reward him? He said, "No." So he said, "Well, we need to do that. We need to honor him." So the next day, King Ahasuerus calls Haman in and he says, "Hey, I've got a project for you. I want to ask you a question. If there was someone that we needed to honor that did something great, what do you think would be a good thing to do to honor a person like that?" He said, "Well, I think maybe have a parade for him would be nice." He's kind of thinking that it's him he's talking about. "Have a parade and have people go down through the streets and, you know, celebrate the greatness of this person." He said, "That's a great idea. The one I want to do this for is Mordecai, and I would like for you to lead the parade." This was the very man that he hated and wanted to have him hanged on the high gallows that he had already built. He had to lead the parade in honor of Mordecai. Later that night, Queen Esther came in and had the banquet, and she tells the king that the man that I am telling you is trying to assassinate our people is this wicked Haman right here. So the king is so angry and he orders Haman to be hanged on his own gallows. God's people were spared through that act, some of which seemed to be coincidental occurrences. And yet God was in control. The name of God, by the way, is not once mentioned in the book of Esther. Some people have said that coincidence is when God wants to remain anonymous in your life. God is actually doing things in your life, but he doesn't want to be known for that necessarily. But he's working it out behind the scenes. That's providence. That's God at work in your life. The Apostle Paul, in the latter time of his life, began to think about going to Rome. And when he wrote the book of Romans in chapter 1 and verse 11, he said, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, that you may be established, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of you and me." And he said, "I don't know how I'm going to make it to Rome, But I have had it in my heart for some time that after I complete my other work in these different areas, that I would like to someday preach in Rome. So he was thinking of that and planning about it. And as he was on his way back to Jerusalem, he began to hear warnings and saying, "Paul, do not go up to Jerusalem, because bad things will happen if you get there to Jerusalem." But he said, "I have a purpose to fulfill," and he would not hesitate to going up to Jerusalem. When he was there, he was arrested in the temple, coming out of the temple. But God spoke to him and he said, "Paul, I have many things for you still to do, and I want you to be appearing for me in Rome." Well, he was arrested. He was put in prison for 2 years. And there was plots back and forth to have him killed on the road going back and forth to Caesarea. But God protected him. And Paul eventually was brought on trial before the Roman governor, Festus. And he said, "Would it be all right with you if we sent you back over to Jerusalem so that you could be tried by your own people?" Paul said, "No, I'm a Roman citizen. I appeal to Caesar." So he said, "Well, you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you will go." So they hired a ship and a centurion, and he was put on the ship, and they were on their way to Rome. The big storm came up on the Mediterranean. The Euracladon, south winds. And it blew for 14 days. The storm was so ferocious of a storm. But they were standing on the deck at night. They're throwing everything over into the, you know, to lighten the cargo. And Paul is standing there and he says, "Men, I think that we all need to take heart and we need to have something to eat, because the angel of the Lord just spoke to me and he said that if you all stay on board the ship, no one's going to die, because you are going to appear in Rome to be my witness." And sure enough, the storm came and they crashed on the island the next morning. The people there came out and took care of them for 3 days, and then they went on to Rome. Paul did stand before Rome as he was said that he would. God was working in all those events in the lives of those people. My question is, do you believe that God is working in your life? Do you believe that things happen by coincidence, or is it a God incident in your life? Maybe that you met your wife when you did. Maybe that you heard the gospel when you did and became a Christian. You met someone who studied the Bible with you. You've prayed many times and God has answered your prayer just at the time that you needed His help. You know, back in 2009, our daughter Mandy had a liver transplant. Most of you remember that. We were here in Bible class on Sunday morning. Phone rang back there in the back of the building. Karen answered the phone and it was Mandy. She said, "We've got the call. They want us to come in. There is an organ for the transplant." So we went home and we went to the hospital, and 2 days later on Tuesday morning, Mandy went into the hospital, and while President Obama was giving his inauguration speech on TV, Mandy had an 11-hour surgery. Came out of that at 9 o'clock that night, went in at 7 o'clock in the morning. And she was in the hospital for 42 days after that. So they had a beautiful room there overlooking that area. And there were some times there that it was very difficult, especially on Karen. And many, many times we got down on our knees and prayed to God for our daughter. And one morning Karen was praying just by herself. And it was a cold morning in February. And she said, "Lord, I know you're there, but I love hummingbirds. If you're hearing my prayer, could you send a hummingbird?" And within, what, a couple minutes, she looks out the window of Mandy's room, and there's two blue hummingbirds flying outside the window. And when I got there, Karen's all in tears, and she's telling me that story, how God has answered her prayer. That was a turning point, and it really lifted our hearts and our spirits. Another thing that happened was the elders from the church in Kirkland came to the hospital one Saturday morning. And they said to us, they said, "You know, the Bible says that the elders, when someone is sick, go and pray for them. And so we came to pray for you." So we went into, you know, the prayer room together. And the two elders prayed for us, just Karen and I. And that was very, very uplifting. A lot of things happened during that time. But we had our faith increase tremendously as we saw God at work in our lives. When we think about life, there's many times circumstances in our life that we are fearful. We don't know the outcome. It may be our children. It may be our health. It may be a loved one. There may be times in our life that we look and we say, "Is God hearing my prayers? Is He really with me? Why are things not working out better than they are? They seem to be happening." I think it's important, it's very great for us to be able to have confidence and know that God is at work in your life. So I mentioned earlier a coincidence. It is a condition of two events seeming to come together at that time, the correspondence of events that is just due to the circumstances. And it can seem. I'm kind of inventing a word here, God incidence, and my definition to that would be this: the precise arrangement and correspondence of events coming together in the life of a Christian at the precise time that they are needed for the fulfilling of God's purpose in your life. Again, Romans 8 and 28, it says, "All things work together for good for those who love the Lord, according to His purpose." So, to me it's encouraging, and I agree with Tim Tebow. I have to agree with him. It's not coincidence. We have a big God that we need to give Him the praise. In the Bible, there were times when people, something happened, you know, that God blessed them. They would build an altar right there on the spot. Abraham did this. God would answer his prayers in some way, or Jacob was on the way and God spoke to him. Next morning they get up and they build an altar. Put all the stones up there and they offer an animal on the altar. It was a way of thanking God for His response to their need. I believe that it's a very sound practice, it's very good practice in your life to do that same thing. When you see those two bluebirds outside the window, is to immediately say, Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for being such a faithful God in our time of need. Recognize that was not a coincidence. Make up your mind to attribute that and thank God for answering your prayer and for working out your problems in your life. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we hope that you'll respond this morning to the Lord's invitation to come to you, to come to Him and lay your burdens upon Him and repent of your sins, confess your faith, be baptized into Christ as He has commanded, be raised to walk in newness of life. The Lord is with us. The Lord is watching over each one of our lives, and I am totally convinced of that. Don't ever doubt it in your life. If you're subject to that, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing the invitation song.